So before we get started, please take a minute to like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter at iShipItPod. You can also visit us on our website, iShipItPod.com, or email any questions or comments directly at iShipItPod, or to us at iShipItPod@gmail.com. And every time I say this, I feel like Alexi Darling from Buzzline.
You can email me at darlingalexi@newscom.net, or you can page me at...
But if you are feeling supportive and you want to help us grow, you can donate via PayPal, shop our Amazon affiliate link, or buy us a coffee. And last but certainly not least, please rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends that you ship it.
Pretty please.
Thor ate a lot of Pop-Tarts in these fanfics.
It is a hot garbage fire.
Do you not know what sex pollen is?
I mean, Phantom Seed. What?
I don't care. I ship it.
Hey there, geek girls, geek boys, and geeks beyond the binary. This is Emily J with the I Ship It podcast, your safe space on the internet for fan fiction, fandom, and all that stuff you've been pretending you're not reading on your phones. Hello, friends. It is October now. And before I get into my spiel for the week, I just want to say that this is my absolute favorite month of the entire year. It's nice and crispy cold in the mornings, and I got chili cooking for dinner after this. And like everything's all spooky and Halloween-y, and it's just so damn good. It's also the month we got married in which we got married, and Jared's birthday, and a bunch of other people who we love have birthdays this month as well. So like, it's just a whole bunch of good stuff. You really can't kill my sparkle when it comes to October. I am that basic white bitch. I don't love the pumpkin spice latte, though. I will say it is not my fave. I've tried it. I don't love it. I prefer a nice hot apple cider any day of the week. But anyway, again, before I get into my spiel, I do want to mention last week my whole little milk rant that I went on led me to a week of only noticing milk commercials. So apparently I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about because I don't pay attention. So perhaps there have been milk commercials thrown at me my entire life and I've just not paid attention at all because I'm not that observant. So, you know, life is flying by me and I'm not paying attention. I'm not awake. Usually looking at my phone. But, you know, that's where the fanfic lives. So, like, it's a trade-off. Do I watch more milk commercials or do I read more fanfic? I don't know. I've had that very difficult conversation with myself several times this week. It's been a wild ride. So while we're planning for future episodes, which just started happening today, and I'm very excited about it, I do have a question for the masses, the people who are listening. If I were to talk about your fic on this podcast, would you want me to take the time to, I mean, I always comment, but would you like me to go back after I've recorded the episode and give you a link in the comment to the episode telling you that I reviewed it? Because I used to do that. My first couple, you know, weeks or months or whatever I was doing this podcast, I was leaving reviews with the link saying like, hey, I reviewed this on my show, thought it was great, whatever. And the response I got was kind of like, thanks, if they responded. I kind of got the feeling that I felt like I was sort of doing too much self-promotion. Like it wasn't about their fic, it was about my episode and I wanted people to listen to it, which is true. I did want people to listen to it, but I also wanted to let the person know that I'd record, like that I'd talked about their stuff. Cause I would think I would want to know. And now it's like the opposite. Like I'm getting I tag people or whatever on Tumblr, like people are excited and they're happy and they're sharing it. And it's like, yay, they talked about my fic. They said nice things, blah, blah, blah. And that's wonderful. I get so excited when, you know, people are happy that I talked about their fic. That makes me so happy. But I don't know if I should tell everybody that I reviewed their fic, because then like, what if people are embarrassed? What if they don't want me talking about their fanfic? I don't know. Now I'm in a weird place. I have no idea. There's a lot going on in my brain right now. But, so if you have an opinion on this, I would really love to know. I would love to crowdsource this method of, how I'm gathering content and talking about it on this podcast. If you would want to know, tell me. If you think it's weird that I'm going around telling people that I talked about their fic without their permission, without them knowing about it, I don't know. If you think the opposite of being happy about it, tell me that too. And I'll just judge by the reactions that I get. How about that? That sounds good. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do we do Why So Salty now? Yes, we should. We should do Why So Salty now. So that is our segment. We're jumping into that. I was not salty before. I am mildly salty now. And you guys are going to be sick of me talking about this. I'm sick of feeling like this. I'm sick of the salt. I'm sick of constantly unearthing a new level of salt. Like I have this own personal salt mine that I think I've like mined clean or empty or dry or whatever it is that you do when you empty out a mine. I think I'm done. And then something will happen. And I'm like, but wait. So... of course, you guys, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fucking Endgame again. So there's this thing that I thought of that I was talking with a friend of mine and we kind of came upon this realization at the same time. And I feel that we were both equally horrified. But the thing is, I used to love Peggy Carter. And I also used to love Hayley Atwell, but we're not talking about how I kind of quietly personally canceled her in my own life right now because she said some not great things and she hasn't really made me very happy for a while. But that's neither here nor there. Peggy used to be one of my favorite characters of all time. And if I can ignore the last movie, then she can remain one of my favorite characters. But if I give in and if I think about what I'm being told is now the truth and is now cemented and solid and canon and cannot ever be questioned because this is what happened in the movies and we're the important movie executives that we say goes blah, 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 blah. If I am to believe that, then it really fucks up her character in a lot of ways that I did not think about until very recently. And now I can't stop thinking about how it really fucks up her character in a lot of ways. So I am, of course, talking about the controversy of Steve's ending and what is being agreed upon now by all five members of the team that gave us this nonsense, being that it's a closed loop predestination kind of thing where Steve was always Peggy's husband. He's the father of those kids in the picture in Winter Soldier. He's who she's talking about in Winter Soldier. And he was at her funeral in Civil War, but he was hiding. Basically, the idea that when Steve went back at the end of Endgame, he turned into a hermit who, lived in the basement at Peggy's house and, never did anything that we thought Steve Rogers would do with his life if he had the chance to go back and fix things. He apparently didn't fix anything. He just stayed in the basement and I assume tinkered with some toy trains or something. I have no idea because that's what they've given us to work with. I absolutely cannot accept that and cannot say like, okay, sure, that's fine. No, we all know how I feel about that. I've devoted multiple segments of Why So Salty to it. I did my entire salty segment of Endgame was about that in the Endgame recap. We don't need to get into that part, okay? What that does, though, is there's this other side of that history of the people who founded S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm talking about not just Peggy, but also Howard. And in Agent Carter, in First Avenger as well. I really did like how they were colleagues and, kind of snarky, snappy, sort of brother-sister type dynamic, where they both really respected each other and they both really liked each other. And they worked really well together and they were good friends. And then in Agent Carter, they became better friends. And she, you know, helped clear his name of treason and almost got accused of treason herself. And, you know, he helped her save the world. It was a whole thing. Okay, so then the history goes on to say that they went into business together and founded S.H.I.E.L.D. together and ran it for X amount of years until, I assume until, well, until whenever. Who fucking cares? They ran it for a long ass time. They founded S.H.I.E.L.D. together and they ran it as co-directors together. However, so the thing is, during that time, Howard Stark, in the back of his mind, had this thing that happened where he felt guilty for what happened to Captain America, that he was somehow responsible and that he lost Captain America and that Captain America was the best thing that he ever did. And him disappearing the way that he did and Howard not being able to find him was kind of a pivotal moment in Howard's life, to the point that he drank a lot more. It is implied that he turned into a darker person because of it, which happens, not, you know, begrudging anybody that. And most importantly, that loss affected, and that relationship, his and Steve's relationship, affected how Howard then went on to raise his son, or as it turns out, not raise his son. Because he was cold and he was distant and he was unable to, you know, see Tony for who he was, as opposed to like Howard's next greatest creation, because he wasn't Captain America. That's all canon. That whole thing, that whole Stark dynamic, all canon. I'm not spitballing anything here, okay? But now, if we are to believe now what is being told is canon, which does not spark joy. If we're to swallow that saltiness, then Peggy knew that the thing that was the defining moment, the loss that was the defining moment in her friend and coworker and colleague's life, that loss was undone, and that person was living in her house, fucking her on the reg, knocking her up, secretly married to her, whatever. That person was there and she kept him away from Howard too. In the beginning, I also think that's shitty. So that's really shitty. However, then we get into the fact that Tony is around in 1970. And we are to believe that Peggy just watched Howard sort of dissolve as a human being over the course of time due to trauma and, you know, alcoholism and everything else, and treat his son like fucking garbage and constantly compare him to Steve Rogers, who is this unattainable ideal because he's dead. Peggy knows he's not dead. Peggy could fucking fix all of this and tell Howard, like, hey, you didn't lose him. You're okay. Maybe go give your son a hug. That's kind of like super villain level shade, Peg. All right. I don't love that. And it makes me really angry to think about it, because, yes, they never explored the whole Peggy-Tony relationship, but she worked with Howard for 60 plus years. She had to at least care about him a little bit. She had to think of him fondly a little bit, right? I don't want to think she's that kind of cold-hearted monster that would just say like, oh, but I got my happy ending. My Prince Charming came back to me. I can just completely separate my job from my home life. And like, what? Did Howard never question where these children came from? Did Howard never stop over for a drink after work? Maybe that's my question. Where was Steve hiding? What exactly went into this elaborate ruse that could possibly have made it worth it? I mean, for either of them, honestly. what? And I know I'm hyperfixating, guys. And that's because, you know, I'm employed by Marvel and I get paid to develop these storylines and really, you know, dig deep and make sure that they all make it. Oh, no. No, I'm not a professional storyteller. I'm an amateur podcast host who thought about this for more than 35 seconds. And the fact that I can poke all of these holes week after week in your bullshit ending, gentlemen, tells me once again that somebody in that writer's room did not do their job. And I think it's just a big old circle mirror of who didn't do their job. We all need to look in the mirror. Not me. I'm great. I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong except be offended by, you know, your terrible choice. And I'm not alone, okay? Just, again, stop. You stop talking about it and I'll stop talking about it. How about that, guys? How about that? Can we agree to that? Can we barter a piece here? Because I'm tired of being angry about your bullshit decisions. And I could just put it behind me, and I should, and I will eventually. But let it be known that I have never once gotten over absolutely anything that has ever happened to me in my entire life, and I don't actually know how to, so I don't intend to start now. So I'll always be a little salty. I'll always be soaking in this brine probably forever until some new media comes along to piss me off. That's my promise to you, gentle listeners. That is the end of Why So Salty. We're going to be sweetness and light from now on. If you feel the same way and you want to validate my rage, please, please come into an inbox anywhere and tell me about it. If you do submit it as an ask, however, as we talked about last time on Tumblr, it may take me a little while to get to it, but I'll do my best. But, you know, emails and Facebook messages and Twitter, if you're following us on that, all the things, all the other inboxes are great. They're wonderful. Jump in there, chat me up, whatever. That's a shitty thing. I'll try and respond. I will respond. It just might take me a minute, but I will. And I want to talk about this still because I'm clearly still angry. So thus concludes Why So Salty. Back to sweetness and light. The actual topic we're talking about today I will be talking about Peggy a little bit, so I wanted to get that out of my system. But the topic itself is not canon specific. It is not a fandom specific thing. It is, again, a trope. I like these kind of broad strokes episodes where I can tell you about a certain thing and then give you multiple fandom examples. Okay. This week, we're talking about the OT3. What is an OT3, you ask? OT3 stands for One True Threesome, which is just so special. It is the shipping or pairing of three characters together instead of two. So it's, you know, a polyamorous relationship, and usually it's a functional one. You know, the fics don't always start out like that, but the thing that is wonderful about the OT3 is that they tend to be functionally polygamous. I think that's the word I'm looking for. But polyamory is a thing that happens in these fics, in this pairing, in this trope, and it is usually very comfortable. It's very functional. It's very healthy, and the stigma is not there. So that's nice. That's nice to see, because when you're as old as I am, friends, and you've been in fandom as long as I have, which is my entire life, you start to hate. You hate certain things, and there's almost nothing that I hate more than a love triangle. God, I hate a love triangle. Love triangles are the fucking worst. Do you know why? A, they're unnecessary. B, they're unrealistic. I've never been on a fucking love triangle before. Are you kidding me? A love triangle? Jesus Christ. Side note, if I secretly have been in a love triangle, I was not aware. And if I was somehow in between two people who I felt the same way, I would not. Again, this goes back to me not paying attention. So if two people were in love with me at one time, I had no idea. And I'm so sorry if I didn't pick the right one. I think I did, because he is really great and he's sitting across from me and he produces this podcast every week. But I'm pretty sure he did not have to like convince me to fall in love with him or like fight for my affection, or there were no like dramatic confessions in the rain or anything like that. And that seems to be an issue that I see a lot of in the love triangle situation. Usually it's raining. Somebody's always fighting in the rain or yelling in the rain or running around in the rain. Guys, I live in the Pacific Northwest. It rains all the fucking time. You don't want to stand outside and argue about your feelings in the rain. Nobody wants to do that.
Doesn't stop people, though.
This is not a Taylor Swift song, okay? Go inside and fight. You sound trashy like our neighbors. And a lot of people downtown. However.
I was going to say, downtown's got it in spades. It's all true. Sorts of people. Not all the time.
Not all the time, but you know, yeah. People like to fight in the rain. But they shouldn't. And they do a lot in love triangles. The other thing with love triangles, because like I said, they're unnecessary and they're unrealistic. And to me, there is always a clear, obvious choice. Always, 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 always there is an obvious choice. So it's not a love triangle. It's always the girl in the middle, and she has the obvious choice and the other guy. The other guy is never the obvious choice. There's never any question. For me, it's like you look at something, you see the obvious choice, and then you have to fucking wait around for 15 plus chapters while she hems and haws and goes back to one and then the other and back to one and then the other. And then finally, if it all works out, she ends up hurting the other guy, who you've kind of come to accept as like, yeah, I mean, he's not the obvious choice, but he's not a bad dude. So she hurts his feelings, and then she goes back to the obvious choice, who frankly deserves way better than her wishy-washy bullshit. And you're like, PETA Malark, you could do so much better. Of course, I'm talking about PETA Malark. PETA, the obvious choice Malark. Gail was never even an option. The fact that people turn that shit into a love triangle is nutso. All right. PETA deserved better, frankly. I mean, I know Katniss was the love of his life, and I'm glad they ended up together, but like, boy deserved somebody else. I don't know who, because I read so much of that fic, but you know, he didn't want anybody else. He wanted Katniss, and he got her. So that's good. Great. Wonderful. Anyway, love triangles out. So over them. Don't need them. Don't do that. Because also my brain, the whole time, anytime I see a love triangle, I think, wouldn't we all just be happier if you three could have sex together? Just the three, just get over it. Just get over yourselves. Get over your bullshit insecurities. You want him. The other him too. You want them both. They both want you. If they looked at each other for more than 30 seconds, they'd probably want each other as well. That's probably some underlying homoerotic sexual tension simmering just below the surface. Just go for it. Act like it's season 2 or 3 of a Netflix original series and fucking just have a threesome. If you don't realize, Netflix loves a threesome. Netflix fucking loves an OT3. They managed to throw one in every single show that I've watched, and it's wonderful. It's great. More people should have threesomes if that's what's working for them. And it seems to in these episodes that I watch on TV. So, you know, if that's your thing, go for it. Okay. You get no judgment from me. This is a kink shame-free zone. Everybody should do what they want to do. And I think there would be less love triangles and more general happiness if the OT3 were embraced by popular media as much as it is in fanfic. And that is wonderful, because fanfic as a whole fandom has really embraced the OT3. I'd say in the last 10 years. It's not something you see a lot of in canon, although there is this wonderful show called Leverage that is so great. And it's so silly and campy, and it's not one that I could ever watch and be like, oh my God, this is serious high drama. It's not serious high drama. It's about a group of thieves that Robin Hood around and steal shit back for poor people. Their stuff has been stolen by rich people, or their lives have been ruined by rich people. And they go in and they fuck up the rich people's day, and they give money and stuff and property and whatever back to the poor people who were preyed upon. It's a concept I can get behind. There's also a lot of like like base level spy craft, and there's lots of like fight sequences, and Christian Kane is in it and he's the best. He played Lindsay on Angel and I love him and he's so wonderful. But he plays this like bruiser dude named Elliot. Anyway, and then like they're always get like different identities and costumes and just like wacky hijinks. Just wacky hijinks. That's the best way to describe Leverage. Also, it has the only example I can think of a canon OT3 ending up as Endgame. For that, the series is over. So I was like, this can't be real. And then I watched the whole series and I was like, oh my God, they freaking went there. It's not explicit, but it's very heavily implied that Elliot, the bruiser dude, and Parker, the master thief, and Hardison, the tech guy, are in love. The three of them are in love. It's a beautiful thing. They are very much in love and it is very obvious. And the show ends with the three of them getting to be together. It's great. It's the only example I can think of. I'm sure I will post this episode and, you know, more people will come out of the woodwork to tell me this other thing that I've missed in my 32 years of inobservant behavior. And I'll be stoked then too. Fuck it. Who cares? More the merrier. Literally. Hey. Ah, threesome jokes. Anyway, that is canon and that is very exciting. The other thing that is wonderful about it, like I said, it does negate the option of the love triangle, which is bullshit. We hate it. And it is helping people to kind of accept the idea of polyamory. I think even if we're just doing it in fic, I think it's nice to get that out there, get that in the conversation. It's not something that people have talked about in my life ever. And I think it should be because it's a viable option for a lot of people and it's how they live their lives and they should not be shamed for that, right? Right. So the other thing is that it's really fun to read. It's fun and it's sexy and like you can apply it to other tropes like the ABO. That's like a built-in OT3 because they have three roles there. You want to go ABO and not just Alpha Omega, which you all know what that means now because we did a whole episode on it and it was great. Or like, you know, your three faves could get like dosed with sex pollen and then they just have to like fuck it out or they might die. Oh God, I cannot wait. I can't wait for the day I get to do the sex pollen episode. It's going to be so awkward. I can't wait. It is such a problematic trope, but I fucking love it. So the OT3 is great, right? Okay. So we love it. So I have collected a few fics for you now that we all know what it is and we all agree that it is the superior way to deal with the attraction between three people without a love triangle. Fucking bullshit. So now I'm trying to think if I've ever seen an OT3 of like Hunger Games, but that was so polarized. I won't do it, friends. I will not go looking for the other famous love triangle of the last 20 years, Twilight. I'm not going to go looking for Edward and Bella and the wolf kid. I'm not going to go doing it. I know it probably exists. I would prefer it, but I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to go down that road and I won't go down that road. So I've avoided Twilight fanfiction this long until somebody comes on my show and wants to talk about it. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to stay off those boards and I'm going to assume it exists in an OT3 scenario. And I'm going to sleep better at night not having experienced it for myself. Frankly, thanks. So anyway, I did come up with a few other fandoms that aren't just my own. The first one being my own. Like I own fucking Marvel. The one I talk about every damn week. That's fine. Whatever. So the first one that I found was, of course, Leverage. Why am I saying leverage? That's very British of me. Leverage. Is, like I said, it's the canon OT3, so that's pretty exciting. It's also the only G-rated one that I was able to find. I'm sure if I looked harder, I could find more G-rated fics. I have some T's and some G's, and I have a T, a G, and then the rest are M's, because y'all know that what I'm into. It's the M-rated fix. And also, if you're going to write about a threesome relationship, you should probably write about a threesome. So usually that gets you bumped up to the M or the E rating if you're doing it right. Not to say people who don't write M are doing it right, but like, you know, we're all there for the same reason, right? So the first fic is called Parker's Puppy Paradise by Amuly, which is like, sounds like Emily, but it's A-M-U-L-Y. Assume it's pronounced the same way. And that is Leverage. That's Hardison, Elliot, and Parker. And it's the G-rated. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Parker finds a box of puppies and she wants to keep it. And there's mild arguments, but it's mostly just sweet-ass domestic threesome fluff. This is like very quick snapshot of three people who love each other very much and who, you know, are making their relationship work despite each other's predictable bullshit. It's adorable. Please read it. The next one is a fandom we have not talked about yet. We've talked about its counterpart, but we have not done the actual deep dive that I've been wanting to do. Should be happening maybe soon, hopefully. I would like a co-host for it, though. So if you're listening and you want to come on my show and talk to me about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I'm your girl. I'm here for it. I want to talk about it. Anyway, that is the next OT3 fic for the fic called Always by Kita and K-I-T-A. It is Buffy, Angel, and Spike. Buffy was kind of in an entire series long love triangle with those two, being that she considered Angel like the great love of her life, and she would always go back to him if it worked out that they could ever be together. And then Spike was, of course, Spike, and Buffy and Spike had a lot of problems, but I liked them together a lot more than I liked Buffy and Angel. I don't know why, but in this fic, they're all together, and it's a post-series fic. She's much older, and it's kind of like a collection of times that they were together. It's good. I like it. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into Buffy fic until I can do a whole Buffy episode. But this is an OT3 if you're into that and you didn't want Buffy to have to choose. All right. And then we're back into what I'm familiar with, which is, of course, Marvel and what I talk about all the time. The next one is kind of what I touched on briefly when I talked with Ange a couple months ago of the Bartons. There's a dynamic of the Bartons plus Natasha. And I didn't think I'd love that at first because of my deep and unending love of Laura Barton. And I wanted her to just be, you know, happy and cherished by Clint. But then I also thought, but she could also be happy and loved and cherished by Natasha, and the three of them could work this out. And that's exactly what happens in the fic. I Love Only That Which They Defend by Andy Beth 82. And I do feel that Andy Beth 82 has written other fics that we have talked about on this podcast. I think she's the one who wrote the Clint and Carol bro TP. And if she is, cool. I think she is. I'm pretty sure. But this one is a lengthy one shot. It's almost 50,000 words. So it's not nothing. That's for sure. And it's a very long kind of like three people learning how to fall in love and how to be together and how this dynamic works. It's very realistic. It's very well done. It's very detailed and definitely worth checking out. I'm a big fan. There's another one that I'm putting in here because I think it's also great. It is broken up into chapters, though. It's called All of Himself That Is Good by Shelley Bell. I will admit I did not get a chance to read this one, but this is I wanted to put this in here because it is T-rated. So if you're not into the M, this is a Laura, Clint, and Natasha fic that is T-rated. So it's not, you know, super sexy times and explicit, but it is worth the price of admission. So check it out. I'm sure you'll like it. It's kind of it's Clint centric and it's done after, takes place around Civil War. So check that one out too. And the last one is what I said earlier, who I was going to talk about a little bit, just because I can't go another episode without bringing up my favorite ship name of all time, World War Threesome. Steve and Bucky and Peggy in a war zone, getting it on. The fic is called Yes Ma'am by Team Damon. It is exactly what it sounds like. We might die tomorrow. We all find each other very attractive. Poor bisexual Steve doesn't know what to do with himself because he loves Bucky and he loves Peggy. And Peggy's like, well, let's all just do this together. She was a forward-thinking girl, and they do. And it is as labeled on, the directions are there on the box. And it's right there for you. It's good. It's hot. It's fucking just, yeah, read it. Those are our fics. I will link them all. As always, I suggest you read them. I suggest if you have never tried an OT3, I could have given you a million from Darcyland, by the way. And if you want specific Darcyland recommendations, they're so easy to find. But please come find me. I'll give you some. Like I said, there are myriad, multiple. And they're all wonderful. And they all work because I know tons of gifted writers and people can make this trope work very easily. And I guess it lends itself really well to great fiction, as I found this week. So enjoy what I gathered for you. And if, have questions or whatever, you want to drop into my inbox, that's fine. Bring a friend if they're into that kind of thing, whatever. Wink, wink. I will talk to you guys next week. I want you to have a great week, and I want you to get your ship together.